Life, Love, and Family with Dr. Tim Clinton. Licensed professional counselor, licensed marriage and family therapist, president of the 50,000 member American Association of Christian Counselors, executive director of the Center for Counseling and Family Studies at Liberty University,
and best-selling author.
Life, Love, and Family.
How's it going with your kids? Are you exhausted, frustrated, butting heads too often, perhaps yelling a lot? Stay close today. We have a special program on screen-free parenting. Now that sounds refreshing, doesn't it?
In my daughter's eyes, I am a hero. I am strong and wise, and I know no fear.
Welcome to Life, Love, and Family. Hi, this is Bill Scott, along with my friend Dr. Tim Clinton. What an incredible show this is going to be, because, you know, there's so much coming against our family, so much coming against our kids, Dr. Tim. Sometimes, even as a parent, it can seem overwhelming on how do I parent my kid in a great way, so I guess I end up being that hero in their life.
You know, in a lot of ways, I think most parents get it right. They love their kids. They want to set limits. They want to have godly influence in their life. And at other times, it gets a little challenging. There's so much it competes for our affection, our relationship together. And when you think of kids, they're so impressionable. They just soak us up. And when we're having a bad day and we get in their face and get after them, you just often wonder, what's it doing to his or her heart? That's why I'm so delighted to have our special guest today as we talk about a really important topic, screen-free parenting.
Yeah, Hal Runkle is with us, a world-renowned expert on helping families in conflict and having great relationships. He's a licensed therapist, relationship coach, international speaker, and organizational consultant. I'm just telling you, he's bringing a lot to the program. He and his wife have been married for 19 years. They live in the Atlanta area, a couple of teenagers. So he's right thick in the middle of it, too, in his parenting and his relationships. Hal, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me. Yeah, I was listening to you guys read that, and it's amazing how unqualified that raising kids can make you feel. It's because every new stage is different. You mentioned I've got two teenagers, and it's a continuous struggle, and of course I hear that song, and I think, oh, great, yeah. You know what, I don't know if my kids, in my son and daughter's eyes, if I'm their hero anymore, because they have seen the inconsistencies and they're willing to point it out to me, but I'm thrilled to be able to talk about it.
You wrote the best-selling book, Screen-Free Parenting. We just wanted to establish right up front that you had this perfect home and you guys never raised your voice or anything around your place.
You know what's interesting is, after the book came out, my kids, whenever they would go to like a new teacher, like the start of the school year, or they would go to friends' houses, almost inevitably, the parent would kind of pull them aside and say, okay, now tell me the truth. Did your dad really not scream at you? It was unfortunate they had to be put under that pressure, but they got it eventually. So where one time, my son, I was screaming at him, and he threatened to call the newspapers and, you know, call the TV station or something. Don't write a parenting book unless you want to be under more intense scrutiny than ever before.
Education.com says that 3 out of 4 parents have yelled or screamed at their kids in the last year.
There's a study from the University of New Hampshire that says that 98% of all parents unleash a psychologically damaging outburst towards each of their children before the age of 5.
Wow.
And we know the other 2% are just lying about it, right? Because we've all done it.
I was in McDonald's recently, and there was this dad in the play area. His son was playing up in there, and he was trying to get him to come down. Next thing you know, I'm going to burn you up! He's screaming, going off on this kid.
Wow.
It just made my blood boil.
It's heartbreaking to see. I don't know if you guys remember this, but there was this National Basketball Association public service announcement years and years ago, and it had Mark Eaton, the 7'4" guy that used to play for the Utah Jazz. And
oh,
they put
yeah.
the camera, you remember that? They put the camera like at knee level and looked up at him and said, this is what you look like to your kids, right? It's interesting because it is so easy to lose it, and in the moment, we feel absolutely justified in doing so. Look, you're in danger, or we're being late, right, or you're not being responsible, or you're making my life more difficult. We get caught up in it, and we lose it. And what I ask audiences when I speak those, what's the it in that sentence? Now, the it is what we've come to believe is it's our adulthood, is the very thing that differentiates us from our children. Is the very thing we sacrifice in the heat of the moment and then wonder why they don't respect us. Why should they? We'll say these things. Look, if you would have just behaved better the first time, I wouldn't have to scream. Not realizing that what we're actually communicating when we say that is, look, I need you to behave better because I can't.
Hal, get our attention here for a moment. Scream-free. What does it mean?
Non-reactivity. It means that I am going to be absolutely in charge of my own emotions. I'm not going to ask you to manage my emotions for me by behaving better. I'm going to be in charge of my emotions regardless of how you behave. And so what it means is I'm just going to take this adulthood thing very, very seriously and say, look, my job is to lead my children into responsible adulthood. But I cannot lead somebody to a place that I have yet to go or to a place that I'm not willing to go. And so this means that I need to take radical charge of how I express myself, how I manage my emotions. And so I'll tell audiences all the time, look, this is not anxiety-free parenting, but it is the hallmark of an adult is learning to manage your anxiety so that you can lead, so that you can make choices. Because kids are going to act like what? They're going to act like kids. Two-year-old's going to act like a two-year-old. 16-year-old's going to act like, in many ways, a two-year-old. The question is, how old am I going to act?
But Hal, you don't understand. It's the only thing that works with my kid. Come on.
Exactly, which it always means, all right, what's your definition of works? Is it means that you get them to obey in the moment?
Yes, it means I get them to obey. Yes, it means I get them to stop embarrassing and being crazy in front of other people.
And you may get it in the short term like that. But what you have done is actually decrease your ability to influence them in the future. Because what you want most is not for your kids to be afraid of you. I know sometimes you'll take that, and so you'll scream at them and intimidate them. We all do it in order to get them to behave in the short term, right in this minute. But every time we use fear and intimidation in order to get them to behave now, we've actually lessened our ability to influence them as they get older. Because what they suddenly begin to do is, instead of working harder on their own maturity, all they're doing is working harder on how to tune us out.
And the more we scream, the more we have to scream.
Exactly. It just teaches them that I've got to scream louder the next time.
And so we escalate so quickly. It doesn't matter what the issue is. The next thing, all we're doing in our home is what?
Screaming.
And then what comes up when an actual situation arises where you maybe need to scream, where they're venturing out into the parking lot?
And nobody hears you.
Yeah, it's the boy who cried wolf. You've been at that kind of tone and volume level for so long that they've just, again, they're working hard to tune you out.
Now, what does screaming do to a child's brain? I've heard people talk about scrambled eggs. I'm seeing another situation where this dad just was screaming at his son in the mall. I mean, just berating this little dude, little 4 or 5 year old boy.
I like the scrambled eggs thing because what it does is it introduces an inherent confusion into the child, because what you're demonstrating is a remarkable inconsistency that you need to listen to me, but I'm not worth listening to. That's what we're communicating, because the person who is leading you needs to be led as well. It scares the crud out of kids, because you're my leader. You're supposed to be modeling for me how to deal with difficult situations and difficult people. What you're teaching me is that you need me to be more mature than you. That's what we're asking our kids to do. Again, I need you to behave because I can't. And then we wonder why they don't respect us. Listen to this. Say you drive them in the driveway, and your 8-year-old daughter has left her bike out for the third night in a row. So what do you want to do? You know, be honest. You want to run the thing over and then back over it again. Teach her. But instead, what do? You go storming into the house. How many times am I going to tell you to bring your bike in? You know, just once. I want to hear a kid say, I don't know. Why are you asking me how many times you're going to do something? Instead, a scream-free parent has a new option. Say, hey, honey, saw you rode your bike. Hope you had a good time. Just want you to know you've left it out in the driveway. And so you have a choice. You can bring the bike into the garage, or you can choose to leave it out. That is your choice. And I will respect either choice. Now, if you choose to leave it out, then when I get up in the morning, and if it's still out, then I will just take it to Goodwill, and that's it. Because what I'm doing is I'm assuming the role of a leader. What a real good leader does is calmly, clearly lay out the situation and everybody's role in the situation. My role is not to get you to bring the bike in. That's your job. My role is to let you know the situation and then let you know the consequences and then follow through on those consequences with calm. That's my role. And so if I do that, and I'm absolutely willing to take it to Goodwill. If you're not willing to take it to Goodwill, don't say that. Say, I'm going to take it away for 2 weeks or whatever. But then, if I am able to restrain myself and not look out the window after dinner and say, hey, honey, you still haven't brought your bike in? Because you know what? If I do that, then I'm still taking responsibility for the bike, which is not what I want. What I want is for her to take the responsibility for the bike.
Exactly.
But if I still feel that responsibility for the bike, then she never can. She never will. So I have to just lay it out and let's see what happens. But here's the beauty of it. I don't assume that her choosing to leave the bike out is the worst decision for her to make. Because in that juncture in her life, it may be the best decision. Because let's say she gets up in the morning and the bike's gone. Well, she has learned two amazing life lessons without me having to say a word. She has learned, one, if you don't take care of your stuff, life takes it away from you, which is just fact. And two, Dad means what he says, which I hope is just fact.
Today on Life, Love, and Family, we're talking about scream-free parenting. Glad you're able to tune in. Hal Runkel is with us. I've been to families where it's all scream.
Yeah.
There is none of this leadership that you're talking about. They want the result in what you're talking about, but I just don't think that some people know how to get there.
What I love is when parents ask, is it too late to make changes? And my response is always, look, if you're asking, is it too late, then it's not too late. Because what that means is you're willing to investigate your own ways of doing things and make changes. It requires a radical shift, is we have to stop focusing so much on our kids' behavior. We've got to focus on our own. And that's very, very difficult for parents to do because we have bought this lie that says, you know what, it's our job to get our kids to behave. We're the ones responsible for our kids and their behavior, which, of course, belies the very purpose of parenting in the first place. Our job is to help them manage their own behavior. I don't want to give parents techniques to manage their kids' behavior better. Look, all of parenting is summed up in the act of potty training. And we get it with potty training. It's, look, I don't want to do this anymore for this kid. I need to teach this kid to do it for themselves, right? So I'm going to go through a training regimen to get them to do it on their own, and they do it.
And we're going to do anything and everything we have to do to get this thing done.
Exactly. But we stop there because then now it's just about yelling at them to try and manage their behavior.
I like that.
Instead, my house is when you turn 7, it's another potty training event. We just decided, hey, we're going to go to Target or Walmart and you're going to pick out your own alarm clock. So my daughter, remember, she turned 7. She picked out a Little Mermaid alarm clock. And for a week, we're going to work with you. We're going to work training you how to set it. Here's what it sounds like in the morning. Do you like the snooze button? Do you like this alarm, whatever? And then after that, we're going to hand that self-management job over to you because my job is not to take responsibility for you. My job is to help you learn to take responsibility for yourself.
Hmm.
I'll tell you, here's what happened to me yesterday. Okay, I've got a 16-year-old daughter. She got in trouble with watching too much Netflix on her computer. Now, all of her homework is on her computer, so we think she's doing homework the whole day, and of course she's not. She's watching horrible, stupid shows like Vampire Diaries and Gossip Girl and whatever. So I go online and see that this has all happened. And my instinct is to scream at her and yell at her and say, I'm taking total privileges away from you because you obviously can't handle it. Well, here's what she comes back at me with. She says, what you don't understand, Dad, is I realized this about myself. I didn't tell you this, but I realized this yesterday. And so today I was starting a plan for myself to manage this on my own so that I was not going to watch it during the week. And then I was going to tell you guys that I was only going to watch 1 or 2 hours during the weekend. So I'm faced with this choice. Do I want to trust her to do that? Do I want to allow that to happen? But then I thought, well, what's the end goal? What I want most is for her to be able to take that initiative and manage herself, because in 2 years she's going to be on her own in college where I'm not going to be able to examine her behavior as closely as I can now. So, all right, for 2 weeks, let's see how you do, because I absolutely want you to do it on your own. So many times our anxiety says, no, I don't want them to do it on their own. You know, they're not capable. Well, if we're not actively engaging them in that and giving them choices on that, then they never will learn how to.
Hal, you're indicating something I think very significant. Parenting, it takes work. It takes investedness. There's a lot of people out there using the word attunement, which means you really need to be in touch with your child and yourself. And here's a quote that's coming out of a lot of the literature right now. The quality of the relationship you have with your child also determines the effectiveness of your discipline strategies. Show me a home where all you're doing is disciplining, yelling, and screaming, and I'll show you a home that's lost relationship with your son or daughter. Hal, weigh in on that for us.
Well, the temptation right now is to give in to your anxiety and say, you know what? What we need most are better technological advances and skills in order to monitor our kids' behavior so that we can manage them better. I need to get a low jack on their car. I need to be able to track their phone. I need to be able to check their grades online in real time. All this stuff is going to do this because my whole job is to discipline them. And not realizing exactly as you just said, that always the best remedy for any situation, for behavioral change, is a great relationship with the leader. What are we doing to work on that relationship? Because it absolutely will determine the effectiveness of any disciplinary measures you do. One of my favorite quotes, and it's Abraham Lincoln said it, the more you discipline yourself, the less others will have to.
Isn't that the truth?
And so I'm wanting to introduce my kids into a world where they manage more and more of their own behavior.
Well, that's the goal of parenting.
It is, but you know what? Our anxiety says that's not the goal of parenting.
We've got to control them.
Absolutely, because they don't know what they're doing, and the world is a scary place, and so our job is to protect.
There's also a relationship popping up too, Hal, about peaceful parents, happy kids type thing.
Absolutely.
What are you thinking of that?
Here's the way I say it. Approachable parents have teachable kids. And so you got to ask yourself, how approachable are you? If your kids come to you and say something they're struggling with, are you going to flip out? Are they scared that you're going to flip out? Because if they are, they're not going to come to you. But what I believe every parent wants most is a relationship with their kids where there's mutual respect enough that your kids see you as a wonderful resource and guide through life. But if all they're ever hearing from us is our anxiety, then we become the last people they come to. You asked me earlier about, you know, I've got this perfect home and I never scream. People ask me that all the time. And the truth is, you know what, I do not scream a lot at my kids because it's obviously professionally advantageous for me to not scream. But also it's something obviously that matters a lot to me, and so I work on it more than anything. But occasionally, yes, I do. But if I've done anything really, really well as a parent, it's that I've communicated through my just calmness and my presence and my openness that, look, if I do scream at you, you can absolutely call me on it immediately. And when they do, I've tried very, very hard to not do a yes, but apology. Yes, I did scream, but your behavior was so bad that, you know, instead, you know what? You're right. I lost it with you, and you deserve better from me.
Okay, so let's just go a little deeper here then. What am I going to do when Jimmy or Annie gets under my skin? I mean, they're making me crazy.
Yeah.
What do I do? How do I calm myself so that I don't react?
Everybody has their own pause button. Something they've been able to use in a tense situation at some point in their life. And it's not the same for everybody. And so I'd never give some one once-for-all technique that everybody has. But everybody's had a situation where, you know what, your boss was freaking out and you were able to stay cool. And your grandmother's funeral, for whatever reason, you were able to be calm even though everyone was losing it. You got to have something that you can turn to. But if you're waiting till the heat of the moment to suddenly begin to discover this pause button, it's not going to work. What you have to do is realize this has to be your number one priority, is staying calm, not getting your kids to behave. Not protecting your kids from harm, but absolutely staying calm. Because the biggest principle we really, really emphasize with Scream Free is, look, when you lose it, it doesn't just make things worse. It actually creates the very outcomes you were hoping to avoid in the first place. It has this amazing backfire ability. I tell a story in the third chapter of the Scream Free Parenting book. Now, my son, he's 2 years old, and I'm at the top of the stairs, and he's climbing on the outsides of the stairs. Just hanging onto the banister and the banister pickets, and his feet are on the little ledge of step that's outside the banister. Well, what the heck do I do now? Now, my anxiety says, flip out. Oh, no, scream, lunge. But what happens if I do?
You scare him to death.
Exactly. It increases the chances that he'll fall. And that's in every interaction we have with our kids. So what I teach parents is you got to have some sort of pause button. And one that works for me is 3 words. It's actually 4 words because it's tell me more, but it's actually, huh, tell me more. So my son, hey, Dad, don't pick me up at 3 after school. I got detention. Huh, tell me more about that. Is that what I'm feeling? No. What I'm feeling is, you're an idiot. What'd you do now? Right? But yeah. What I'm saying and presenting is, huh, tell me more about that. Because I want to give myself a chance to create a pause between stimulus and response. Because in that pause, I can choose how I want to respond rather than just immediately reacting. So this has to become your number one priority as a parent. Because you know what? You recognize great leaders are the ones who are able to keep their cool in the tense situations.
Hal Runkel has joined us today on Life, Love, and Family. We're talking about scream-free parenting, which might ring a bell with you, and you're going, okay, I'm listening. I'm on the edge of my seat today. So what do we do when we think our kids are just way out of control? I mean, we're really scared for them, and I know we're not going to yell because that's what we just got done talking about, but what do we do when they just seem way out of control?
Well, there's a couple of things. If it's in the moment when they seem way out of control, then absolutely you need to get calmer and more connected. This doesn't mean leaving them. This means getting close to them. Whether it's a kid throwing an absolute fit in a grocery store, right? What you don't need to do is threaten to leave them or scream at them or reward them. You need to get calm. Hey, I'm right here. Calm yourself down. Use your words. If you can't, then we're going to leave. But I'm getting calmer because when I am calm and present, I become a calming presence. It's infectious. I can have my anxiety infect the situation, or I can have my calm. So I get calmer. As kids get older, obviously their choices are much more serious. Get calmer so that I can make choices rather than just reactions, and so that you can have very, very serious conversations. Look, your behavior is getting to a point where we're going to have to intervene in a more serious way, and whatever that way may be. But, you know, every parent needs to be thinking about what are you prepared and willing to do. I just had this situation in my office yesterday. My kid's on drugs, and I'm not sure what to do. Well, what treatment centers have you called? What are you prepared to do in order to address the situation? Or are you just thinking that hope is your strategy? Right? When you're calm, you can begin making more clear, rational decisions. And so as your kids get more out of control, that just means you've got to get more in control, not of them, but of you. Because that's the only way you can actually be an influence to them.
Does this work, Hal, with primarily young kids, or are you finding tweenagers or the teen years?
When somebody says, does this work, I'm always going to question on how do you define work. Does it make your kids perfectly behaved kids? I hope not, because you don't want perfectly behaved kids. Perfectly behaved kids are scared to death, and they don't do well overall in the long term.
What do you mean, Hal, they're scared to death?
Think about this. Perfectly behaved kids around you usually don't behave very well outside in the world. And I see parents all the time who come to me and say, well, my kids are really, really good at school, and they're good around grandma, and then they're absolute terrors around me. And I think that's a good thing, because they're trusting enough to test you. They're testing your leadership. But perfectly behaved kids are scared. They're scared to take any risks. They're scared to do anything that's challenging. They're scared to challenge the status quo.
They're afraid of failing.
Absolutely. There's a fantastic movie that illustrates the horror of pure obedience. It's Ella Enchanted. It was starred Anne Hathaway. And it was a fairy tale where, as a baby, she was blessed with the quote-unquote gift of obedience, which meant she couldn't say no to anybody. So she just had to obey all the time. But I want my kids thinking for themselves. I want them thinking about how to make decisions, because, again, my job is to help them launch into adulthood so they make good decisions that they can learn from. But I want them to take risks, right? That's how growth happens. Certainly God calls us. I think Christians should be the boldest people in the world. We should be risking this to change the status quo all the time, which means we don't just accept what our authorities say to us all the time. So I welcome it when my kids challenge me, because then we can engage a conversation, because I don't want them just to be little robots that don't think. And so I hope that this doesn't make your kids perfectly behave, because that's not going to make them prepared for the real world. Now, does this increase your influence? Absolutely, because we respect people, especially our leaders, who are able to be calm and connected at the same time. And I will tell you, the people who have taught me this more than anybody are soldiers. Recently, the last 2 years, I've been engaged with the Army. We've been asked to train the therapists and social workers on posts. And so I've been to 40 different Army installations around the world. Soldiers testify all the time. Look, and you're in the midst of a horrible, crazy, chaotic firefight. The calmest one there is the one in charge, not the one who's got the position of leadership. Because if they have a position of leadership but they're freaking out all the time, then that infects everybody around them and they become the last person you want to follow. So regardless of the age of your kids, regardless of the age that you have, learning to rein in yourself, manage yourself, is the best gift you can give to your kids, because it communicates to them, you know what, I'm okay with all the chaos around me. I can handle this. You can trust me as a leader.
There's stability, there's safety, there's an anchor.
Parenting does not get talked enough about as a leadership role. But it's the most important leadership role on the planet. And every day, we're faced with a choice. Our anxiety says that this leadership role, our job is to protect them from harm. Our principles say, no, our job is to prepare them for life. That's the choice that we face. Am I protecting them, or am I preparing him? And as long as you keep that at the forefront, then I think it's going to help you make some better decisions.
In my daughter's eyes, I am a hero. I am strong and wise, and I know no fear.
Wow, what a great program on life, love, and family. You know, I just think, Dr. Tim, every parent listening today is going, I want this for my home.
Bill, I think you're right. I can't think of any mom or dad out there who just listened to this who wouldn't say that very thing. I want that. Now, getting there is the challenge and the opportunity and the responsibility. And it starts with a decision, Bill. It really is about us being intentional. That's what I'm going to pursue. And if you got the heart of the program, what Hal was saying was, that kind of parenting starts with you, Mom, with you, Dad. It's about stepping back, taking in a deep breath. Listen to this thought just for a moment. Everybody knows what a bad boss is like. Think about it.
Well, he yells at me, intimidates me, he scares me, puts fear in my life. I can't relax on the job. That just doesn't even feel like I do anything right.
He doesn't reward me.
No.
He doesn't believe in me. He doesn't help me grow.
Mm.
What's a good boss like?
Yeah, he rewards me. He encourages me. He teaches me. He helps me go to the next level.
You see, and our children see us in those very eyes as either a good boss or a bad boss. How you doing, Mom? How you doing, Dad? And the idea really ultimately is about being close with our children. I want to be close with my kids. And I want them to grow up in the nature and nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want them to be responsible, to be free, so that what? We can enjoy each other. Hmm. That's what parenting's all about. That's what life, love, and family's all about, Bill.
If you'll check out our website at lifeloveandfamily.net, we've got a brand new parenting video series, and you can find out how to obtain that. It will take you from A to Z, because you got to know where to begin on this.
It's a series that teaches us how to pass our faith on to our children. It's a series about developing emotional closeness with our kids. It's a series that teaches us about how to discipline our children better and more.
When you go to the website, we also have a fact sheet. We make that available every day, regardless of the topic that we're talking about. Here's the cool thing. You can share that with your friends on Facebook or Twitter or through email. It just might be that nugget of truth that you need. Maybe even today you're overwhelmed by what you heard and you're like, I need prayer because I'm going to take that first step when I get home this afternoon. And you know, if you've made that decision in your mind, then your kid's going to be going berserk when you get in the driveway at 5 because they're going to test you.
Boy, Dad, what happened to you? Mom, wow.
Can you imagine if you took that
a chill pill or something?
Yeah,
take that
deep breath. And you're just like, son, we're not going to do that anymore. Can you imagine the response from your kids? That would be huge. So here's what we want to do as well as we close today's program, and it's been a great program. We want to make sure that you're able to pick up the book, Scream Free Parenting. We always ask, would you join with us financially with a donation? You can make any size of a gift. We're asking that you'd consider $25 because you believe in the mission of life, love, and family. So go to our website. You can obtain the book there with your donation, lifeloveandfamily.net, or you can call toll-free right now while riding in the car or at work, if that's easiest for you, 855. That's a toll-free number, by the way, 855-455-3864. That's 855-455-3864. Easy way to remember that is toll-free 855-4-LL-FAMILY.
Life, love, and family.